Don't you love the fact that our God is a rock? You can do what you like to a rock, but it remains a rock. Listen to what Moses said at the end of his life, as he was aware of the fact that underneath were everlasting arms. He says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Isaiah says that so many, many people are praying to a God who cannot save. Isn't it good that we have another God altogether, a God who can and must save as he has promised? In fact, he saved his people from the foundation of the world, and now we rest in a finished work of our great Saviour. Let's turn with me in your Bibles back to Song of Solomon. If you go to Isaiah and go back one book, or if you've gone to Psalms, you can go forward a few and you'll get to Song of Solomon. And I'm trying to bring a few messages so that we get some picture of what this glorious song, this gospel song, says of the Lord and his children. Ben and Tegan want me to speak from a verse of this in chapter 2 for their wedding, and I thought, well, we've only got a few minutes at the wedding and we will relish something of what Song of Solomon says beforehand, and I trust that that might be the case today. Okay, the Song of Songs, it begins, which is Solomon's. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." And very obviously the reason she's saying that, again, is because she has tasted that his love is sweet. And then she says, "Because the savour, the odour of thy good ointments, the odour of all of his name, all of his attributes flow out," as we looked at it last week, as the ointment that the Lord was anointed before his burial by Mary in Bethany just the week before he died, and it filled the whole house. And that's our longing, is that the savour of his name, the glory of his name, would fill the house. And its ointment poured forth, and that's exactly what Moses was talking about, and it's exactly what happens in the preaching of the gospel. It's poured forth, and it becomes refreshing and sweet to the children. "Therefore do the virgins love thee." We looked at that last week. The virgins in Revelation 14 are those who haven't defiled themselves, and particularly haven't defiled themselves with this world, and particularly, most particularly, haven't defiled themselves with the religion of this world. Now I want to have a look at verse 4, because it's just so sweet and glorious and so profound in what it promises and what it delivers. Listen to these glorious words. "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." What a glorious plea, "draw me," and what a glorious promise and response that comes from being drawn. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Who is the we? Well, the children of God run, not as individuals in this world. We are always considered sheep, and the sheep follow the shepherd, and a shepherd that had one sheep is not much of a shepherd. He'd been a very neglectful shepherd. So it's certainly the we of the people. We also run and have all of our living and being in God Almighty, and we will be drawn and we will run as the blessed Holy Spirit does his work as promised in the hearts of his people. And I love the fact that there is just one place that all of the Lord's people are drawn to. It's a person. We will run after thee. We won't run after this world. We'll run after thee. To run is to be in haste, to have an urgency, to have a necessity. In the Old Testament, running often speaks of those who are bringing news from battles. To run is to not be distracted. You might remember when Elisha sent his servant after the lady's son had died, and he said, you just run and don't you stop for anything. You run until you find him. You run. It's not to dawdle. It's not to wander down different paths. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, John chapter 10, and they do what? They follow me. They follow me. We obviously are aware of the fact that all of God's people are in desperate need of being drawn by the Lord to himself. No man, John chapter 6, no man will come. No man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draw him. And so in this business of drawing, we are passive and God is active. But as with the kiss that she cries out for in verse 2, let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth, because his love is better than wine. She's tasted that his love. Have you tasted the Lord is gracious? Have you tasted the Lord? Tasted the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? That powerful love. Jeremiah, we keep quoting Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, isn't it? I have loved you, he says of his church, with an everlasting love. I've loved you everlastingly. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. God's children are not brought to the Lord Jesus Christ by the whip of the law or the threatenings of hell. They are drawn into the very presence of God Almighty by the cords and the bands of love. It's love that binds us to him and him to us. So this is the cry of being drawn, is from love experienced. And love draws when his name is poured forth as a good ointment. Everything that you read about the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious, isn't it? Every attribute and every action. He's done all things well. He is doing all things well. He rules purposefully. He rules effectually. He rules for his glory. We're drawn to him in his glory, the glory of his attributes made known, that ointment poured forth. And I want us to look at this. It's both a prayer, and it's something that is said so often in the rest of the scriptures that it's extraordinary how often we miss it, and we shouldn't miss it. I'll read a number of them to you, and I want you to get some sense in which the people of God are crying out and asking him. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, and I'll just read them to you. We won't have time to look at them in any great detail. When God said, seek ye my face. My heart said unto the Lord, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He says, seek. And we turn around and say, I'm going to seek because you've said to seek. Deliver me from blood guiltness, Psalm 51. O God, thou God of my salvation, you deliver me from the blood guiltness of the murder of Uriah and the adultery with Bathsheba and the murder effectively of that child and the ruin of a family. You deliver me from blood guiltness O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You deliver me, I'll sing of your righteousness. Psalm 51:14. Psalm 65 verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach. He chooses his people, then he causes them to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Turn us again, Psalm 80 verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to be shine, draw us, and we shall be saved. Psalm 80 verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Psalm 119 is just full of this exhortation, which is encompassed in this draw me. Listen to some of these verses. Psalm 119 verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes so that you will show me what's in your book. I can't see it without you. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, and so shall I talk of thy wondrous work. Psalm 119 verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I'll run when you enlarge my heart. Psalm 100 verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Quicken me, cause me to be alive, make me alive after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 117, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Have you cried that? You hold me up. I can't hold myself up. Everything is too much for me. All the circumstances are too big for me. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 143, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, thy grace in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Draw me. Draw me, and we will run after you. There are so many glorious pictures in the Old Testament of people, and in the New Testament of people being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't they? You know the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was in a covenant relationship with David because of Jonathan's love for him before Mephibosheth was born, and probably without Mephibosheth ever knowing about it. And he was a cripple. And how did he come to dwell in the courts of the king and sit at the king's table and be treated as a king's son when he was due to be murdered and to die because of his association with Saul's house? A covenant of love and a command from David. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5. David sent and fetched him. How do you get to be in the presence of the king and to sit at his table and be declared one of his sons? You go and fetch him. You fetch him out of the house of Machir, a place that has no past. You fetch him out of a wilderness. Draw me and we will run after thee. I love the story in Luke chapter 19 of Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was a little man and he was a tax collector and he was an enemy. An enemy and someone to whom the Jews had nothing but utter contempt. And the Lord Jesus came. Always it's him who comes and does the calling and the drawing. You can read about it in Luke chapter 19. And he was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he ran and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, because he knew that Jesus was passing. And when Jesus came to the place, verse 5, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, run right now, and come down. Everyone who is called and everyone who's drawn will have to come down. Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Draw me. How did Zacchaeus get to be there? Get into that place? Who planted the sycamore tree and caused it to grow? Who made Zacchaeus of little stature? Who tolerated Zacchaeus being an enemy of God's people and an enemy of God all of that time? And who came at the time of love and says, you're mine, you come down, you make haste, you make haste, you make haste. This day, says the Lord about Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. He came to save sinners. He came to save lost sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came to save sinners. Lord Jesus Christ comes to his people and he draws them to himself. He draws them to himself by the gracious work of the blessed Holy Spirit. He draws them to himself by revealing himself to them. Was Zacchaeus happy that day? Was Zacchaeus rejoicing that day? He'd given away his money. He'd given away all of his reputation with the publicans. He had been brought to the very house of God, and he heard, we are drawn by the influence of the Spirit, we're drawn by the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we're drawn by the word of the gospel, and we're drawn by irresistible power of loves. This is just a manifestation of the glory of God in drawing his people to himself. He'll draw them. He'll draw them. Draw me and we will run after thee. That's a prayer. The Lord said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all to me. In John 12:32, the men is in italics. He's going to draw all his people to himself. And he's going to draw them by being lifted up. We lift him up in his glory. We lift him up in his majesty. We lift him up in all of his glorious attributes. To draw me is to acknowledge that there is a distance between us and him. And that distance is only a distance. It's going to be brought near by him doing everything. We will run. We will run. Don't you love that? Nothing's too demanding. No sacrifice is too great. No obstacles like the mountains will be made low and swept away. We'll be made. We'll run. We'll run to worship him. Don't you love what he says in Hosea chapter 14? For you who, like me, feel we're backslidden in appalling ways, he says, I will heal their backsliding and I will love them freely. Mine anger is turned away from them. Where was his anger turned? It was turned on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why can he draw his people to himself? Because they have no sin. Their sin has been taken away. Why, how on earth can we be in the very presence of God Almighty? We have to be as holy as he is holy. We have to be as righteous as he is righteous. And we have to be made like the Shulamite to love who he is and love what he is. But I want us to look very briefly as we close at the beautiful conclusion of this. She prays a prayer, draw me, and we will run after thee. And what's the answer to the prayer? The king has brought me into his chambers. He's brought me into the place where he reveals himself in his glory. Is the prayer answered? He who loves me, says the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and I'll manifest myself to him. Why has he gone away? He's gone away to prepare a place for you. What's he doing? He's coming back, John 14, chapter 1 and 2. He's coming back. And what's the believer's response? If you've been drawn by the Lord Jesus Christ, it's thankfulness, isn't it? We will be glad. I want to be glad. I want to be around people who are glad. I want to be around people who rejoice and are glad in the fact that there is a Saviour for sinners. There's a Saviour who comes. There's a Saviour who draws out a prayer from our hearts. We'll come. We'll come when he causes us to come. But we'll come with gladness. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Our rejoicing is in who he is. We just rejoice in his person. His gifts come to his people, and he causes us to rejoice in his gifts, but all of his gifts point to him. We rejoice in him. We're glad in him. And we will, if you're drawn and he answers that prayer, we will remember thy love more than wine. We will remember thy love more than wine. His love's better than wine. Wine is given of the Lord to remind us of many things, but it's given of the Lord to gladden our hearts. But there's a very small limit to how much we can have, and it'd be good for us and gladden our hearts. You can drink this wine all day long. You can drink this wine all day long, all day and all day, and still have more room for thanksgiving. We will remember your love more than wine. We will love who you are. We will love fellowship with you. We will love being in your company. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and we have a fellowship. God creates a fellowship. Draw me and we will run. We will run after thee. Therefore the upright love thee. If we are drawn, we will run. We will be brought into a place where we see that he is absolutely and completely righteous and holy in all that he does, and we'll love his holiness, and we'll love his purity of all of his attributes. We'll love the holiness of everything that is about him, and we'll love the glory of all of his attributes. We will rejoice. We will be glad. And God commands his people to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's always a reason to be thankful and to rejoice. There's always a reason to remember. As we have the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? We're not remembering what we've done or what we promised to do or what we should have done or what we ought to have done. We're remembering him, aren't we? He says he'd given thanks, 1 Corinthians 11:24. He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can only remember someone that you know. You can only remember someone that you know. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. If he's drawn you, you'll remember his love, you'll remember his chambers, and you'll long to be back there again and again and again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We are preaching and proclaiming to each other in the Lord's Supper his death till he come. We're proclaiming it to each other. The wonder of that death that put away death, the wonder of that death which is death to all of my sins, the wonder of that death that brings joy and gladness to hearts that can find very little joy and very little gladness in very little else around this world. Do this in remembrance of me. Draw me and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. What do you see in his chambers? What we see in heaven's chambers, our great king and saviour, reigning supreme, bearing in his own body the very marks of our sin forever to show that they're gone, brothers and sisters. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love. More than wine, the upright love thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would cause us to be mindful of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We might be caused as we take these elements to remind us of his broken body and his shed blood. Oh, our Father, draw us again to the cross of your dear and precious Son. Draw us to the place where he is glorified. Draw us again and again and again, Heavenly Father, into the chambers where he reveals himself in his glory. Cause us, our Father, as we drink and eat, to do it with thankfulness, to do it with gladness, to do it with rejoicing, to do it with the glorious expectation that one day soon we'll be in his chambers forever and ever and ever. Draw us away from this world. Draw us away from our flesh. Draw us away from all the anxieties that this life brings, Heavenly Father, and cause us to find peace and joy and comfort in the arms of your dear and precious Son. We pray that he might be glorified amongst us, Heavenly Father, that we might honour him by simply trusting and resting in who he is and what he's done. We pray these things in his name and for his glory and for the good and the comfort of your people in this world, our Father. Pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.